Hey, welcome to the Swine Time Podcast. We got a special Swine Time Podcast today, as today I won't be going solo. I got a partner in crime today, the world famous Darren Carter.
Darren Carter, the party starter. Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening, and thanks for having me on your podcast, Brian. I appreciate that, man.
Thank you so much, dude. It's an honor. I'm glad to be able to see you again, man. It's been a long time since I've seen you, and I used to see you every dang week, dude, at least once, or feel like I saw you like once a week for the last, years.
Right? Like, I'd see you off and on, and then it was definitely like in more recent times, like in, you know, 2015, 20, whatever.
We started working heavy together around 2016.
Yeah, I was like, let's do the road, man. I started clicking with you, you know. We started doing like the Laugh Factory up in Reno, and, you know, I'd run into you in Las Vegas, and you always have these wild stories and fun stories. And I remember I shot this one video with you. You were wearing a suit in Las Vegas. Mm. We were in a showroom. You were in a movie. Mm-hmm. And I was performing at the Tropicana. And I remember I got a lot of views on that video because it was pretty funny, because you're wearing a suit. You look very charming. You look like a Las Vegas, like what people picture, like the Rat Pack. And then, but for comfort, you were wearing sneakers. You're running shoes.
Yeah.
And I went and I said something like, this guy's G'd up from the feet up. Look at this guy. He looks like he just came off of whatever I said. And I pointed down, until you get to the socks and shoes. And you're like, hey, it's for comfort or whatever. And for some reason, people really clicked with that. And a lot of girls were like, is that guy single? And I was like, oh, Instagram is a totally different experience for a guy that looks good. That's wild. But yeah, man, we had a lot of fun. We always shoot these wacky videos. I remember we went to a bowling alley in Reno. It's like the world's largest bowling alley, and I think they shot some scenes for Kingpin.
Yeah, they did.
And it's like 100 lanes or something like that. Some crazy.
I think it's actually the Bowling Hall of Fame we went
to. That's what it is. That's right. And I remember, you know, you just had this blank look on your face. You're out there staring, and I go, "What you thinking of?" And you said something. I go, "We gotta film that." A lot of times, our videos, it's something that really happens, and then we think, "Let's film it."
Yeah.
And that one, I think you said, man, I was wondering, you're up in the bleachers, you go, can I say this?
Yeah, of course.
You go, man, I was just out there, I was just looking at all those bowling lanes, and I wonder what it's like if I had sex with some girl out there on those bowling lanes.
And then I still wonder about that.
Yeah, and I said, well, it'd probably be pretty slippery, you might have to rent some shoes. Or so, that's a funny visual, like a guy and a girl grabbing, you know, getting some rental shoes from the bowling alley. Oh, what lane are you going to play? We're going to play lane 69. Hey. No. But yeah, so we always have those funny things. I remember one time we were in Reno, and it was probably 17 degrees, and the wind was whipping, there was snow on the ground. And you had like that cool brown coat with like the fur inside or whatever that is, Marlboro Man style. Yeah. And I go, come on, man up, you can do this. Because we're looking, I like to look for a good place to eat. And you go, let's go back inside and use our casino vouchers. And I go, come on, Brian, this is the old West. You know, the old West, they didn't go back into a casino. I go, this is the old West, man, we've only been out for 2 minutes. You're like, yeah, but in the old West, they didn't have casino vouchers with a free meal.
Yeah, dude, we really are lucky to be alive in this time frame.
I know.
We didn't have to look for our own food, right?
I know. I was like, come on, let's go hunt for our food. Me and Mom, like, I was hunting for like a Chinese buffet or something. You know, like, wasn't much of a hunt.
Yeah, I always like to save a dollar or two when I can too, man.
I know, that goes a long way.
It does.
Did you eat any of your hotel breakfast out here?
I had a hotel breakfast yesterday, but not today. I kind of overslept today.
Me too. I did the hotel breakfast yesterday. I had to get up early to do radio, and I was like, well, I'm already up. I went down there and got the coffee to wake up, and then I was like, ooh, and then they had like a little bit of scrambled eggs. And
so here's on the note of hotel breakfast, here's some advice for anybody listening who drives a lot, and if you're like me, you don't like to get a hotel every night. Sometimes you're driving a lot, you want to sleep in your car and get a start the next day. Well, here's an advice for safety and for another reason, is sleep in a hotel parking lot that has continental breakfast. So what you do, you sleep in the parking lot and you sleep underneath the lights. So in case anything happens, you're underneath the lights, right?
Yeah. So all the cameras catch like the crime happening.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So,
oh, there's the suspect and there's the victim. No.
And hopefully you're not too bad of a victim,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, we're just joking.
But I do that because I do think about that. I'm like, well, if I'm going to be sleeping somewhere, I want to be where, you know, and then in the morning you wake up, you go in the hotel, you act like you stayed there all night. You get your free breakfast, you go into the bathroom, brush your teeth, yeah. Start your day.
How does one act like they stayed there all night?
We really don't. You just walk in with confidence and walk right to the food.
Yeah.
And get those little waffles that you pour the syrup thing in. And
oh, he knows what he's doing. Okay, he must be a guest.
Yeah, they don't really question you.
Yeah, you don't keep your head on a swivel. Like, oh boy, I hope I don't get caught.
Right, but, yeah, right. You just act like you anything you're trying to sneak into, you act like you belong, you know? Yeah. You know, learned that the old school way when I used to go into events in California, you know.
This guy, a lot of times comics will save their hotel keys for when they're in the next place. That way they can just kind of hold up their key in case anyone. This one comic I saw in Las Vegas online, he goes, if you've ever stayed at it, and it was like some really fancy hotel, he's like, you know, they have like free drinks and food, happy hour. And he goes, but you got to have the key. And then he opens up and he has like 20 keys. Oh, I'll be at the merchandise table selling these keys. You
know? That's cool.
That's kind of a funny bit, you know. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Last night you had something that was, they do at the club. I didn't realize, dude, you got a parking violation. It looked like a very legitimate parking violation, but apparently it's a marketing idea. Like if you know, they're like, it looks legit. And then when you turn the ticket over, it's
you won tickets to the upcoming show. Yeah,
it's like now that we've got your attention, but yeah, I don't know if I like that approach because it starts out negative and then
it's funny. I mean, it's funny. Yeah,
I guess it's funny,
but I guess it does get people because I remember the first time that happened to me there, I was like, oh man, okay, that's cool. So, yeah. But yeah, I think that's kind of memorable to do, and I think it's funny, you know. It gets them, and then it makes them think, and it's something that people talk about, right? We're talking about the next day.
That's true. I wouldn't. Yeah, if it was just tickets, I wouldn't have talked about it.
Yeah,
I've heard that police departments have done that. They'll pull people over, and then they'll walk up and be like, "I want to cite you for driving good today, and here's a free, you know."
Oh, that's cool.
I don't know if I'd like that either. Would you want to be stopped by a cop?
Well, I don't like getting stopped by cops. It makes me nervous. But if they did something like that. You know, sometimes you get stopped by cops. I had this happen to me in the town next to my town. And I got pulled over for the speed limit thing. And I didn't know. I thought it was 45 or whatever. And it was 35. And the cop, she was cool. She let me go. She says, yeah, most people don't know. I just pull people over so that they know. I'm like, oh okay, that's kind of cool.
I like that when it's a positive experience. I had that happen once New Year's Day. I was driving down to the Laugh Factory in Long Beach. And there was, like, no cars out. New Year's Day. And then a cop pulled me over, and you know, he's like, I don't know if you're aware of this, you're in a construction zone, because there's nobody working or anything. And I go, really? I didn't even realize it. He goes, yeah, so you're supposed to go like 45 right here. And I'm like, okay, no problem. He might have just been pulling random cars and just checking them out and stuff.
Yeah, that's true too, seeing if anybody was drunk. So
I don't know. Here's my hot tip. If it seems to work for me most of the time, whenever I've been pulled over, I always put the radio on something really like soft music, like old school. I'm talking like Gene Autry music. If you could like have a station that's just like, so you know what I mean? It's like
so they don't think you're pumping out AC/DC and getting crazy.
Yeah, getting all pumped on, you know. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, but it just kind of has a calming effect.
Yeah, true.
All my windows are down. I turn my dome light on and the cop walks up and then here's some dude and the music is like, oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam. It's kind of like, oh, this nerd, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
For the most part, I guess, right?
Hey, if it's working, you got to keep trying it. So, now we haven't done shows. Now, let's talk about comedy for a minute, man. Stand up. You were giving some advice yesterday. I want you to kind of say to the audience of what they might think of, because you were talking about how I am a little bit with getting wild. And I personally like the way that my comedy style has changed recently over since the pandemic, but I want to hear how you were saying about it, your opinions.
Oh, like with I think in front of an audience, from what I've seen when I worked with you, you're maintaining your likability, the charm, you're throwing in some material other than political stuff. I think sometimes when you do the selfie style with just your phone in the middle of nowhere and you're just talking to the camera, that part, so every now and then I'm like, yeah, it looks a little too angry, you know, like, I think your strength is when you interact with the girls off, you know, like, hey, and yeah, I've seen some videos where you do that, or like, or just people, you know, like interacting in a nice, yeah, pleasant way. That's
I'm
your
good
strength,
at interacting,
man.
You're, with people.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about
when
that.
When you're by yourself and you're out there looking at the duck pond, you're like, I'm pissed off. I'm angry, bro. It's like, whoa, dude, that's not as, you know. You know, when you're on stage, you know, it works. Like, yeah, I remember one night we were in El Paso, and the crowd probably, you know, they probably wanted an escape from all that kind of stuff, and you were venting on stage, and it didn't quite go the way it had the night before, but you just were able to, like, well, I don't know, that's just me. I believe everything I read.
And you kind of, I don't know if I would.
You kind of pulled up that Ohio charm, you know what I mean? You go, that's what you said, though, kind of. You know,
kind
you
go, of, okay.
You go, this and this and this and this and this, and then no one really reacted, and you go, I mean, it must be true. I read a little on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever. But the way you kind of said it was like, and the crowd's like, oh, okay, this guy's a country rube. You know? As opposed to like, whoa, this guy's, you know. Yeah, so it was, I like it when you, and I know audiences like it, when you maintain the likability, the charm, and then the funniness. Because remember, we're comedians, you know, I'd love to see you do more like Man on the Street or just, you know, even stuff that's not related to anything, you know, just whatever, you know.
Yeah,
like,
just talking to people.
Yeah, like I bookmarked a video today, and I would love to see you do some stuff like this. This guy, there was this black man fishing, and this, I've seen this guy's videos before, and this, the cameraman walks up, and he's like, hi, I'm shooting a documentary, can I ask you a couple questions? And you just hear his voice, you don't see him. And then the guy looks at him and he's like, sure. And then the question is, are you happy? And then the person will answer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's his whole thing. He's like, are you happy? And then the guy answered, he was like, yeah, I'm out here fishing. You know, I figure I want to keep myself busy every day doing something that makes me happy. Because, you know, if I get caught up in gossip and the news or whatever, that makes me unhappy. Or if I'm bored, I'm like, well, there's nothing to do today because I become unhappy. And he goes, so I like, and it was that's his whole thing. Like, are you happy? And then he talked.
Yes, to everybody if they're happy.
I believe so. I think that's what he's done. And he's done other things, like he asked somebody else, I don't know if it's the same guy, but I saw another thing like that today where the guy was like, do you have any regrets? And the person answered, they go, I wish I'd spent more time with my parents.
Hmm.
And right when, the way he shot it, the way he did it, right when the person talked, he answered, and then it switched to black and white. It was very effective.
Because it closed. That's it. That's all you needed to see, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know what I mean? So I would love to see you do more of that kind of stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's... Anyways, that's just me and my opinion.
Yeah. Whatever. I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean, that's fun to do, too.
When I heard you do the... I heard one of your podcasts a long time ago talking, I want to say Mr. and Mrs. M.
Yeah.
It was great, man. It was like 2 years ago, and I was listening to it. I was on the road, and I was like, that was good, man. You know, like that... I'd love to see you do more of that stuff. But in fact, I'm glad you're doing this podcast.
Yeah, well, but recently my podcast, see, I'm still furious over the world, man. I mean, how do I get over that? Because it's like, I mean, all this stuff going on.
No, you're not alone. Know that you're not alone. A lot of people are, and it's not you specifically, you know what I mean? Like, so just, like I talked to this guy who's I don't know if he's a millionaire or not, but he sure acts like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him how things were going, and he was like, tell me how you had a hard time during the pandemic, blah, 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 blah. And I felt kind of bad for him. But then I told this other guy who kind of snapped me back to reality. And this other guy was like, he's like, we all had a hard time, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
But then again, he was kind of, the younger guy was a little, I could tell, maybe slightly jealous because, oh, the millionaire, oh. Because the guy, I don't know if the guy really, I think he might be because he.
Yeah. Either way, he's got money,
yeah.
So it seems like.
Yeah, he does theaters, and he has really nice cars. And
okay.
You know, but yeah, maybe it was tough. But I'm saying it was probably tough on him. But it might be a tougher on, I think, I mean, it probably wasn't that tough compared to someone who has to, like what you were doing, you know, delivery groceries and, you know,
I
this
mean,
and
yeah,
that.
Yeah, my life took
I
a...
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, I get it.
It's, I mean, like, because, see, you know, and the thing about this whole thing is, it's not like we get these 2 years back. Right?
I know.
It's not like you're going to be on your deathbed and people are going to be like, you know what? You missed. And for me, the 2 years that were missed were pretty vital years because in my goals, I figured out I was at the time doing Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Sundays at the headlining on good clubs.
Yeah.
And on the weekends, I'd be out with you or something featuring.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my mindset, I thought, well, maybe in 2 years, I could be on the weekends, at least at some of the clubs that I'm headlining on the weekdays.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I'm starting back to past where I was.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, I got even further to go now.
But it can turn around, man. All you have to do is figure out a plan, get it going, and you're already this deep into it, you know? It's like...
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for example, there's that dry bar comedy situation.
Yeah.
If you were to, you know, maybe that could be a thing where you get a tight 20 minutes clean, 100% clean, 20, mm-hmm. 25 clean, submit something, and they'll be like, yeah, this guy's just as good as anybody else. And then boom, you get on there, and then all of a sudden
doors
you attract
open.
More fans and stuff. So it's like, I think that the distraction can happen with some people is they lose sight of their goals and they get caught up in these arguments online. Or
well, that's me.
Whatever.
With some people, yeah. That means
okay,
me.
Okay, because I didn't want to I didn't want to put you on blast on your podcast.
Hey, people know me. People know
yeah,
me.
Yeah, okay, exactly.
I'm a fucking warrior on there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I like what Joe Rogan says. Post and ghost.
That's a good...
He moves on. What I told you 2 years ago, be a content creator, not a content consumer.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, even my son noticed it about me. He goes, Dad, I noticed you used to watch a lot more YouTube videos and... And he goes, I notice now, and it's true, almost every time when I'm at my computer,
you're posting.
I'm editing on an iMovie, and then I'm figuring, and then I'm putting into InShot, and I'm putting in the right dimensions, and I'm trying to get stuff out there. And I felt really lucky and blessed that this week I had three videos, and some more, but for sure, three videos really pumped me up and get me viral, like on TikTok and YouTube. And they're all short comedy videos, and I'm like, yes. Finally, you know, 400,000 views, 500,000 views,
good.
That kind of stuff. And yeah, on YouTube, it's harder to get those views, but
right.
Some of them got 100,000 plus, and they got more subscribers, and it's like...
That's still good.
It's helping me put me in the game, because it's like, you know, I've been doing this for like over 30 years, and it's like, man, things have changed in my life, you know.
Well, that's what's pretty cool, is that you've been able to survive the highs and the lows. And let me ask you about this, because I was explaining this to Manny in the green room last night. About our friendship and
yeah.
about how I met you. Okay, when I met you, I felt like you were pretty famous.
Yeah.
So, how is that being that? I mean, I feel like you were more famous then. Like, people then still know you, right? You still have the fans, but you were pretty famous, dude. From where I saw it. Now, maybe
yeah.
I was newer, so I yeah. didn't realize what was up, but everybody that was at the restaurant I worked knew who you were, and when I went to Dublin's, you was pretty famous to watch the shows. Like,
mm-hmm.
I felt you was pretty famous, and you were in a movie
yeah.
with John Travolta. So how is that, like...
Oh, yeah, I got into the movie after I met you, too, by the way.
After. So, I mean, but you were...
Yeah.
Everybody knew who you were, and I felt you... In my
yeah.
opinion, you were...
Yeah.
You were pretty famous. Like, not, like, crazy,
no,
you,
you yeah.
know, but you were
enough to where I'd walk in places.
And everybody
yeah.
knew you.
Or
a lot of people knew you.
I even had a bio back then, and it's still in my bio, which, I don't know, I think I've taken it off, but it keeps popping up on the internet, where one of the things, it was sort of said as a joke, but it was kind of true. I said, he gets recognized on the daily.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I did a podcast a few years ago, and the girl, she Esther Koo, and she was like laughing. She goes, Darren, I got to ask you about this one line. Do you really get recognized on the daily? And I was like, well, when that thing was written, I kind of was.
You were then.
Like, I remember one time Jay Davis and I, this other comedian, we were in Miami. And he goes, dude, you got recognized 17 times a day. We were keeping a running count, you know.
Yeah.
And he goes, because he's toured with Dane Cook. He goes, I think you get recognized more than Dane, dude. I'm not even kidding.
Right.
That was at that time. And I got to tell you, at that time, one of the things they recognized me from was...
BET,
I'd do BET, and they would run the heck out of those comedy
mm-hmm.
shows, and I'm a white guy on BET, and
yeah.
I was funny, so I'd stand out. And,
yeah.
You know, I to this day get people, you know, like, I put up a video recently, I was on a live, you know, on Instagram, you can go live,
mm-hmm.
and this random fan, black guy out of Detroit, was like, Darren Carter, oh my God, I can't believe it's you, man. Oh my God. Not to make you feel bad or nothing, man, but I mean, I was watching you since I was 12, man. Like, and now this guy's like probably 30-something.
Hey, that don't make you feel bad. I know, that's at all. Like flattering, exactly. Right?
He goes, man, now it's just, you know, my parents would say, go to bed, and I'd be in my room, sneak around watching Comic View.
Wow.
And
man,
he was fun. And I get a lot of that. I get a lot of that, where there's that people, it's that core memory of, like,
yeah,
you know, being with their mom watching,
yeah,
or whatever. And that's not just me. It's anybody who's done something big like that.
Right.
They have those, you know, it's just part of the entertainment. But, you know, but yeah, so to go from that to where it started to, like, fade a little bit, at first I didn't notice. Steve Martin made a thing once. He said, your career's over and you don't notice until 3 years after.
Hmm.
And that kind of stuck with me. I was like, you know, not that my career is over, but that did stick with me, where I was like, hey, and then you look back, oh, no, oh, that's why I wasn't going out for bigger parts. Oh.
And why was that?
I don't know. You just, things happen. You're hot, you're cold. This one agent that used to represent me, somebody had told me that they were in a meeting and they brought my name up. And that agent that used to remember, she goes, oh, Darren Carter's, Hollywood's turned cold on him now. And I don't know if it's because of my age or, you know, the way this, like a sea change, how things change, you know. Who knows? You know, white guy in his 50s isn't really as desirable as a, you know, guy when you're in your 20s or 30s.
Okay,
you
know? So now here's my next question is, because, yeah. Okay, the way I am right now is, I'm against Hollywood pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And we're against you.
Yeah, exactly. Hollywood is against me. Of course they are. Well, I mean, you know,
like I'm part of Hollywood.
But Hollywood is against me, the way I see it, because, you know, they're straight, white, you know.
But that's me. But what about you, though?
But I feel like, but Hollywood is against me because of my points of view.
But that's the thing. There's all kinds of projects. There's all kinds of things. And besides, you know what? I don't want to ever be that guy that makes excuses, because I remember...
Making excuses.
But I don't want to be that guy. And sometimes facts are facts, and sometimes they're opinions. And I do complain sometimes. And then I'm like, am I that guy that's crying and whining? Because I remember when I would be on... I'll just say it straight up. When I was on a sketch show on BET, William Morris picked me up, that big agent. Mm-hmm. And I remember there was one of the cast members. He was like, this is a racist town, man. Out of all of us, they picked a white guy to get represented. So, I mean, people always will find a reason.
Fair enough.
And what about our buddy? Shout out, if you're listening, Tarun Shetty. He's not listening. But he's kind of, how do you think he feels? He's everything they want. An Indian guy.
Yeah.
And he's not getting a break either. So, I mean.
Yeah, you're right. I got to stop complaining. But, well, I guess what I was getting at, how do we control our destiny instead of waiting?
Putting out great stuff.
Yeah.
Putting out great content, great stuff, man.
Instead of waiting, because we can't be waiting for these agents at William Morris. They're idiots.
No, they're not. Well, listen.
They're idiots.
Here's what I'll tell you. Well, I mean, okay. They're, if you make the money, if people can make money off your business, then you'll work with, because you look at guys, like, listen, here's your thing, and my thing too. We don't sell so many tickets to where, because you're like that guy, J.P. Sears.
Yeah, he's
like,
awesome.
He's like you, but mega successful. Like, this guy does. I heard him on a podcast with Roseanne Barr, another one that was banished to the woods or whatever.
Right.
And she's like, man, I heard you were in Hawaii and you did 12 sold-out shows. And she goes, I didn't even know you back then, but my daughter went to one of your shows. So, I mean, guys like him, he's working all the clubs, all the theaters. He's doing, you know, and there's tons of guys that probably think like you do.
Yeah, but you're then right.
But you know what I mean?
They get that market. He's got the good sketches he does.
Yeah, the stuff is undeniably so good. And it's probably like, just ask yourself, how can I be more... Like, I mean, I just saw Tim Dillon. He's like cleaning it up on
Netflix.
Yeah, no, not Netflix, but that other thing, Patreon.
Okay.
But of course, Netflix put him out there. So people, businesses and companies and stuff will want to work with you. It's just you got to get so undeniable to where, you know... Don't waste your time fighting with that one comic you're telling me on Facebook. Who cares about that? That guy's not... Any of that stuff is... Here's... Oh, dude, I saw this great thing online. It was about... I think the guy was... How can I stop doing drugs? Or something like that. It was a TikTok that popped up. And the guy goes... He goes, I ask myself this on anything. When you have a goal, if I do this activity, if I do this thing, is it going to help me towards my goal or hurt me?
Yeah.
And he goes, and that goes towards... And he named all the stuff, and he goes, and that's the same thing. So fighting with someone in the comment section on your own video? Is that going to help you or hurt you? And it's like, is it helping you reach, go towards your goal or not? It's like, I highly doubt, like, you know, I already told you, Joe Rogan doesn't do this. Yeah. All these top people. Top
they don't level, even have time to.
They don't have time to. They don't want to do it. They know it's not good for them. It's like, yeah. What's the point? It's like, they've just wasted mental time.
Yeah. And you know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Man, that's good advice.
I've told you
man.
This before, though, so.
No, I mean, know. No, you know, I'm still working on it, dude. Yeah, I think I've improved.
Yes. I mean, that's good. And
you know, and I think the year I took off. See, I kind of wish I didn't go back on social media, but
and get to the point where you just hit like and move on, or hit laugh, or just whatever. That's what I do.
Yeah, I really,
all the time.
People, I really don't see. Here's the thing, though. Yeah. I don't watch anybody's stuff. That's why I don't follow anybody on Instagram or not. You see, you call me to tell me to like your videos.
Yeah, I go, dude, like that. You put it up, help me out.
Yeah, yeah. So you literally call or text me to do it because I don't watch. And on Facebook, I'm the same. I don't like to. You know, I wish that nobody's things even popped up
that's
on my
good.
Facebook.
That's good. Every now and then, it's good just to kind of see what's out there to learn. I do that for learning, like to be like, oh, I need to do this, and how do I?
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, there's you know.
But on like on anything, I mean, I just there's like a couple guys podcasts I listen to that are, you know, and then I like.
But yeah, that's what you do. Back to the thing with the like that guy JP Sierra, whoever, like those top level guys that are like. Because you say like, oh, they William Hollywood suck. No, they don't.
They
look,
don't.
Look,
you're
look
right.
at Steve Trevino. Look at these guys. Or,
you're
I mean,
right. You're
Jim
right.
Brewer. I mean, these
I was
guys
just
are,
being too negative. Yeah, yes. Because Jim Brewer's got the same viewpoints, and he's crushing.
Yes, and he's hilarious. And that's
and
the
he's
thing.
Fucking awesome.
You got to be hilarious. You got to be so good that they're undeniable, that people want to work with you. I mean, there's plenty of markets and businesses and this and that. And, you know, just they want to, they like you. Like last night, they liked you. You know,
the crowd's still.
They always like you. El Paso, wherever I'm with you, you know, it's like. You know, just maintain the funny part. That's the part that you got to always...
Because how know. Do I... Because now I'm feeling like, man, I want to say my point of views, though. Because I enjoy comedy more when I'm giving a little bit of my dig in there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I have so much more fun when I can really...
Mm-hmm.
And that's only changed in the last several years, right? Because before I was... You know, I worked clean. I still can work clean, but...
you can still work clean like this. But,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, man. It's just, I don't know. I just, with everything happened, I was like, man, I just want to put my little signature on it of how I really feel.
Well, maybe you could still do that, but just, I don't know. What do other guys do that are successful? They do it, right?
Yeah. I mean, my top two guys, Bill Hicks and George Carlin, would do, you know, I wish they were alive to say what they had, what they would think of the world right now.
I mean, look
at
Bill Burr. I like that abortion bit. Yeah. That was like a touchy topic, but he made it funny, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the thing, you gotta make it funny. So funny that it's not like hateful or like.
Yeah, not like, mean.
Yeah, I wonder if that guy that, you know, messed up, you know, wrote some negative. I wonder if he writes negative stuff on Bill Burr's stuff. I don't know, who knows?
Well, he'd be afraid to.
Probably, right?
Yeah, he'd be afraid to.
Not necessarily, you never know though, these idiots will write anything. You
yeah.
know? Anyway, whatever.
It's amazing. Okay, so we're here in Naples one more night, and then where are you gonna go
when
to next?
When does this go up?
There's something putting up today, dude.
Oh, okay, cool. Come to the show tonight, guys.
Yeah, come to the show. You got 2 hours.
You got 2 hours. Hope you're listening to this on the way to the show. No. You know, I would like if everybody that's listening to this would come check out my YouTube channel and subscribe and leave comments in the comment section. I always respond, and unless it's negative, then I'll block you.
Or send me in there to get by.
Yeah, Brian will come after you. Ruff, ruff, ruff. So here's how you find me on YouTube. It's Darren Carter, D-A-R-R-E-N, Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R. Darren Carter, that's where my podcast is, Pocket Party Podcast. 246 episodes as of this recording, and Mr. Brian Swantam, hey, was on my very first
That's
voyage,
right.
The virgin voyage. The first episode, you're in episode number one.
Because I kind of motivated you to restart it up, right? I mean, I kind of mentioned that you should. I don't know if I motivated you, but I thought you should do another one.
Yeah, I did, because I used to do another podcast with a partner back in 2010, 2011. And, you know, that's the thing in this business. People fall by the wayside. That partner, we had done over 200 episodes, and then he quit.
Wow.
And I was like, dang. So I just was like, you know what? I'm going to focus on other things. So I let some time slide. And then I got back into it. But that's another thing. You realize, even with like physical fitness, I used to have my gym partners like, let's go to the gym. Yeah. We'll meet at 10:30. And then they stop showing up. And you realize, oh, wait a second. I can't rely on anybody. You can't rely on my gym. You know, same thing with podcast partners, comedy partners.
Yeah.
Like, just got to, it's a solo journey. And it's very, I remember I was in an acting class once, excuse me. And the guy was like, he gave us like almost like a motivational speech. Like he was General Patton. He was like, it's lonely at the top. You want to be at the top? It's lonely. He's like, there's a lot of things. Not only are you what you have to say yes to, but what you have to say no to. you might have to say no to certain gatherings. You might have to say no, like, you know, birthday parties, this and that. Like,
you do.
Because I think about my amateur friends who are like, I can't go. I got to go to, I'd be like, I book them on a show. I got to go to Disneyland for my friend's birthday party. It's like so much of that crap. It's like, yeah. Those guys never made it.
They're, of course, you know, not.
Not to say that you have to deny. But
you've got to have a little bit of a life with your family, yes, or your,
for sure,
you know. But like, yeah, there's been.
But you know, when the people do it too extreme, you know, they're like, they do everything too extreme. It's like,
yeah,
you know. But yeah, so you have to, and it's like what you say no to as well. Like, no, maybe, you know, no, I can't go to Disneyland all the time. I got to go do some sets, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the other thing he said is, it's lonely at the top, and he said, he goes, there's going to be a lot of these guys or losers that are out there on the sidewalk. You guys are out there. You know, talking about, he was talking about auditions. You guys all hang out after the audition and talk about how, bitching about how tough the business is.
Like, I was just doing 15 minutes ago.
But that's what I'm saying. There's going to be a million guys like that. A million actors, actresses, comics, singers, entertainers that are like, I almost had my big break and then this happened. It's like, I don't want to be part of that at all. I don't want to think, I don't even want to entertain that idea in my mind. So that's why I want to be undeniable to where it's like, and lately I guess I have been to some people, thank God, with those videos where they're like, this is funny, I want more of this. And that's, like, yes, finally, I'm
motivation.
Finally, yes.
All right, man. Well, Darren, thanks for coming out, dude. Another great episode with you. And, man, could you remind the audience what time it is?
It's swine time. Hey, hey.
Thanks for listening.